So proprium or ego is the need to control, and that produces doubt. And letting go is, of course, trust, just by definition, right? So in the spiritual life, doubt is the loosening of the need to control. So it's liberation, actually, that's happening. So the thing to be aware of, which we keep coming back to, is that what the text describes has to come to pass. It's not an optional thing. So if you want to be established in the spiritual life and have your trust in the Lord built up, then the process is falling into doubt. And it's not just about doubting the Lord, because what's in there is doubting that the self can actually achieve anything. And that can be projected as doubt regarding the Lord. But like when you come back to it, you know, the Lord will achieve his end. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The doubt is, will he achieve it in the way that I want it? That's what creates this tension, which then manifests as the struggle, but the struggle is necessary. So what the text here describes is what happens when divine influx starts to become something more clearly a part of our life. So as we engage with the text, then what's described in the text will begin to work itself into our life on a lower level. And the natural mind is totally sealed off. Like the proprial sense of self is totally resistant to what's flowing in, because it's undermining its very existence as it is, at the state that it's in. And so, yes, it resists. And so there's a quote from here from the word, and Pharaoh will not hear you, right? It says that. That's not because Pharaoh's hard of hearing. It's because what is of the natural cannot comprehend what is in flowing. So just try to think about these things in terms of processes, as opposed to individuals resisting or not resisting or being open or not being open. These are all processes taking place within us on many, many different levels, being managed by what's termed the law divine flowing in. So this is not a static thing. It's not something you can box. It's just what happens. It's an organic process, not a methodology. And so coming back to logopraxis offers a structure, but what happens within that structure is not about the method. Like the method just gives an opportunity to be engaged in what the Lord is doing. So it's useful as a support in that sense. Yeah, doing logopraxis right doesn't achieve anything if that's your focus. You know, we do logopraxis so that we can become aware of the Lord operating in our life with regard to the proprium. And so the idea is to become more aware of the mercy of the Lord and the horror of the situation of the proprium, right? What it is. But we have to see it. If we don't see it, we won't believe it. So the word has to put us in front of it. The thing that needs to happen in that process is that we have to come to see that it's what's flowing in. It is not arising from us. It's arising from the identification we have with what's there, those patterns of thinking and all that. But those patterns of thinking can be sloughed off and new patterns can be put in place. That's the whole idea behind transformation and regeneration, is that if that sense of self was something fixed, then regeneration wouldn't be possible. So our sense of self is not something fixed. It is something that is an appearance. And so because it's an appearance, it can be changed, it can be transformed, and what is good and true rather than what is evil and false can become the basis for our life. These are important things to remind ourselves of, and the means of getting there is being dislodged from the things we have grown to love that are opposed to the life of heaven. That's the difficulty. That's what gives rise to anxiety and these other states that are being spoken about here. So in 7:2-7:3, and I will multiply my signs and my wonders, that this signifies warnings of every kind, signs and wonders as being confirmations of the truth and also means of divine power. Here warnings, for thereby they both saw that they were in falsities and saw the divine power, and in this way they were warned. So signs and wonders is the light of the Lord shining on the proprium and showing it up for what it is, right? That's actually a sign and a wonder. And what that does, when we see that in our own experience, that affirms that what the word says is true concerning the proprium. And these warnings have to move to their full effect. So the next part of this, the reason why it is said that those who are in falsities, the proprium is in falsities, right? So don't think of this as others. Warnings are given of every kind, nor shall anything be wanting. So you have to see it in the full horror of what it is. And then we will step back from it and throw ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord. So, nor shall anything be wanting, is that the condemnation of those who are in evils is not affected in a moment when they come into the other life or when you begin to practice. Saying the same thing, to come into the other life is to come into the inner life of the mind, right? But after they have first been visited, that is, examined, so self-examination going on, the examinations are made in order that they themselves may take notice that they cannot but be condemned, or the proprium cannot but be condemned, because they have not lived differently, and also in order that spirits and angels may know that they have been of such a character. So this is about sifting and sorting, and it's self-judgment. And by that, we can read the judgment of the self, or it is something that we have to come to see for ourselves. You know, you can be told it, but until you actually see it, there is no real emotional connection with what's happening. It's just something that sits in the intellect, in the memory. Just, you know, yes, you know, the proprium is evil beyond anything else. Like, you can say that and then, you know, walk out the door and proprium's just fully active as you wander off, get into the car and go and do whatever it is you're going to do, right? So we have to see it for what it is, and it's through seeing it for what it is that the mercy of the Lord just becomes much more palpable. And with that comes the necessary changes of state that lead to a new sense of self being implanted, as those other things are condemned to hell, or they are seen for what they are, hellish. That's what the condemnation means. It's not that they're put off into some place. It is that they are seen for what they really are. That's their judgment in that moment. So work with the word is about the establishment of what the word says is true over what we have come to believe is true through our contact with life operating out of the loves of self and love of the world. So that's the sense of self that has been built up throughout our lives. And then what the word does is begins to show that up for what it is. And our degree of attachment to it means that we suffer a sense of loss, and it is a death. So the idea of forms of grief that come with that are going to be present. But what the word offers is insight into the process. And I think one of the most important aspects of that as we're navigating it is that, well, it's the idea all life flows in. You are not what you're observing. Like, these are the kind of things that we have to keep coming back to. That the process of liberation, as these readings demonstrate, involves states of anxiety, that we come to see the level of infestation that's present. None of that is pleasant seeing, but it's the only means by which liberation can happen, because until we come to see the infernal proprium that we have taken to be ourself for what it truly is, we won't let it go. And so the process, in order to honor and support what is human, which is freedom and rationality, it has to be as of self, that we are willing to lay down that sense of self that has been built up from the basis of fallacies, falsities. You know, there's that progression described here, right, in the very beginning, that there's a belief in fallacies. That's the fallacies of the senses. And the biggest one is I am. You know, I am an autonomous, independent being. Then truths start to become false and falsities start to become true. So that's the nature of the proprium, right? And then from falsities, there's reasonings against goods and truths. So what we see as we engage in this work, you know, like, I mean, it stands to reason that if we take appearances to be what is true, then anything that contradicts that, we're going to see as false and we're going to resist it. Now, the reality is that everything in the word opposes our view of things, or the proprium's view of things. And so there's going to be the struggle and the resistance and the separations and the anxieties and the levels of fear. You know, fear on different levels are at work there. But thankfully, the Lord manages it all, right? We can't do anything in regard to this other than work with what the word reveals on a day-by-day basis. That's how this idea of liberation comes to be fulfilled. Yeah, so what you see time and again is that it's about instruction. So instruction is affirmed through what's experienced, or the instruction gives the framework to understanding what's going on. And while that's lost in the face of the challenges and difficulties, it's always coming back to, and Jehovah said, and it's about good finding its place within truth in order to be stepped down to a level where we can become more aware of these principles and how they work and the need for them, you know, the need for the process to unfold as it is. Like, that provides meaning. And one of the things in the opening of this particular reading is that in 7260, you start to get introduced to levels of discrimination so far as the neighbor and what those needs are and how they can be identified. And we're going to go into more depth around this as the readings progress. But, you know, whereas everything can just be like one globular kind of overwhelm, now starting to be given these different ways of navigating that through being able to feel the nature of, or the quality of, what's arising. And that puts it into these general ideas: the blind, the lame, the maimed, the poor, the miserable, the afflicted. Like, these are all forms of discriminating states and what's happening. And so as these things start to be inworked into the life so that they can actually then be seen, then that provides the basis for the words and other truths to be gathered and to assist in that state. But the process is one of coming to see more and more clearly what the proprium is, simultaneously coming to see more clearly who the neighbor is and what that's about. So those two things have to go hand in hand in the spiritual church, or those states of the spiritual church, which is really the navigation of things by means of the understanding. And it's not just an intellectual understanding, it's the experiential aspect as well. And that comes through in heaven and hell, is, you know, things seen and heard, right? Like, that's the subtitle. There's the seeing and there is the hearing, which is the doing. And those two things have to be together in order to gain a fuller life-based picture of what's happening, and that's what sort of undergirds the development of a new sense of self that the Lord is providing by means of the word as it is worked into the fabric of our life and mind.